Well, thank you very much for joining us for this week's Tech Law 10. I'm Jonathan Armstrong. I'm speaking to you from the UK. And Eric, you're somewhere sunnier.
Yes, it's a gorgeous day on the bay here in San Francisco. I understand you've been trudging through the snow in London.
Yes, well, I live north of London, and we've had a bit of snow settling today, so it's been cold, and I think the prediction is we're going to even have snow in London towards the second half of the week. So it has been cold, but you have been warming up your thoughts as well with online health claims, a topic that we've covered before, but the Federal Trade Commission have been active again over there.
Yeah, that's really true, Jonathan. The FTC, you know, has shown that it's intent on stopping online deceptive health claims in their tracks, if possible. And the FTC has been especially interested in shutting down sites that make false and misleading dietary claims. So as part of its crackdown efforts, the FTC, along with the state of Connecticut, filed a complaint that sought to stop a specific operation based in Connecticut, and the enforcement action was called FTC versus Lean Spa. And the FTC has now just announced that the parties to that action have agreed to a court order that temporarily halts the allegedly illegal conduct. What we had here was a targeted operation that allegedly used fake news sites to promote its dietary products. It also allegedly asserted weight loss claims that were deceptive. It allegedly informed customers that they could receive free trials of certain products when they actually ended up paying for the trials and also monthly shipments. This operation supposedly brought in more than $25 million from U.S. consumers. So the stipulated court order halts the marketing or selling of certain of these product plans. It also prohibits the making of unauthorized charges while selling any product, and it prevents the assertion of certain deceptive claims about the products. Furthermore, the order requires the cessation of collecting on customer accounts and puts in place an asset freeze pending a final resolution of the court action. As part of its press blitz on this, the FTC has stated that this is the 11th case it's brought targeting fake news websites designed to promote dietary supplements. And the FTC notes that it does note that it works for consumers to prevent fraudulent, deceptive, and unfair business practices. And at least here, the FTC does seem to be getting the job done with respect to this particular Connecticut-based operation. So all that being said, I know that notwithstanding the snow and the cold over there, you've been able to warm yourself by looking into some of the recent efforts by the Office of Fair Trading with respect to an investigation that it launched relating to Groupon. So maybe you can freshen us up on that.
Yeah, happy to. And it's almost like town twinning of regulators in that I know that the FTC investigation also involved a UK-listed or a UK-registered entity. And obviously the Office of Fair Trading, our rough equivalent of the Federal Trade Commission here, has opened its investigation into the UK trading entity of Groupon, a business called My City Deal Limited. The FT is being slightly guarded about what its investigation is into. The FT are saying that they opened the case in July 2011, so July this year, and they're calling it an own initiative investigation, so not necessarily responding to a complaint. The OFT has just decided to take a look at Groupon and its advertising practices. And as we've said before in these podcasts, the OFT has fairly wide powers under regulations to ensure that consumers are not misled with online activity. So much the same powers as the FTC are relying on. And as I say, the OFT have been quite quiet about what their investigation is into. But the BBC understands that the allegations concern Groupon allegedly having broken UK advertising regulations 48 times in the last 11 months alone. And there are various details on the internet about 11 formal rulings by the Advertising Standards Authority over here. and a further 37 alleged judgments over breaches which the BBC hasn't identified. So it does look, if that is to be believed, to be a fairly significant investigation, and it seems to turn on the description of deals and presumably over the alleged value of the offer pre-discount and how the discount percentage looks as against the real price. I mean, it's undoubtedly the case for the purposes of balance to say that Groupon does offer some significant deals, sometimes, of course, at the expense of the person offering the deal. And the BBC has featured such a case, a business called Kneadercake, which offered discounts of 75% on cupcakes. And there was a real rush on cupcakes. Apparently the discounts were genuine, and the cupcake manufacturer almost went bust. She said, without doubt, it was my worst ever business decision. And I guess that proves that you just can't have your cake and eat it. Do you have that expression there, Eric?
We do indeed. And I have to tell you and confess that I had a lot of chocolate cake last night at my daughter's 17th birthday party. So I might not have cake on my mind right now, but I certainly have it in my belly.
Yeah, and I suspect we're going to see more and more of these cases on online regulation of advertising and claims. And I think a lot of people presume that there's nobody out there to regulate the internet. And still, your Acacia Berry case isn't my favorite one. I like the Acne app one we covered earlier in the year, of the people who'd been persuaded to rub their smartphones against their skin to cure acne. But it's obviously the case that the regulators on both sides of the Atlantic are prepared to step up to the plate when it comes to regulating the internet. And I think from my perspective, we're going to see more of it here. Do you think the same in the U.S.?
Oh, we have to. I'm sure we will. I think the FTC here is serving notice that it's going to be on the scene and active. However, it's a daunting task. I mean, the Internet is a vast ocean, and there's so many sites, and there's so many representations being made that in some ways, I think, at least here, the FTC has to sort of, you know, pick its battles and hopefully, you know, send a message that, you know, anybody could ultimately be in its crosshairs for improper representations in advertising. But still, there might be those unscrupulous types out there that think they might not get caught up in the net.
And $25 million, I guess they might think it's worth the risk.
Yeah, and that's another point, too. I mean, sometimes the thought is that even though, you know, a regulatory governmental body can claim victory, if you actually look at the ultimate penalty, if you will, it might not sometimes seem that severe. It might almost be that the result is you now must comply with the law and be, you know, transparent and honest and accurate going forward. With maybe a slap on the hand. So we'll see.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's about all we've got time for this week. As ever, thanks for listening. If you're a good guy or a bad guy, make sure that what you're saying on the internet is legal, truthful, decent, and honest, or else we know that the regulators are out there looking for people. So we'll, I'm sure, return to this topic as we get more cases. Meantime, I'm Jonathan Armstrong, JP Armstrong at DwayneMorris.com. And Eric, why don't you take us home?
I will take us home. My name's Eric Sinrod, EJ Sinrod at DwayneMorris.com. As we've told you before, you can find us on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook. And I'm sure Jonathan will give a little point about our LinkedIn group. And that's about it from my end. I will say, you've let me co-opt your expression. I'm now the one that says thank you ever so much. So thank you ever so much.
And then I'll say, do connect with us on LinkedIn. You can come into the Tech Law 10 group where we discuss this. And I'll co-opt your saying and say, why don't you all have a nice day? Thank you for listening.
Thank you.